Climax Imaging.
The biggest, richest, most useful multi-format imaging package on the market. High-def cuts that work. High-def imaging pieces that grip. Over 10,000 multi-format cuts. Designed to sound as big and rich as your music.
On-air example.
Back to the music now.
97.9 KISS FM.
Keep the music going.
Yeah, man.
The station flowing.
Climax.
Yeah.
Segue from song to song while still being current and relevant.
Hip-hop and R&B.
Yeah. Come on.
Power 105.1. Give your audience the fun it craves and your message loud and clear.
Your message here.
Number one on my radio.
Station name here.
Amazing.
Lying here with you.
All without stopping the music.
97.9.
Love it.
I love the music that you play. It
gets me going.
KISS FM.
I came to dance.
We have imaging cuts that flow and imaging cuts that get your listeners' attention. Transition from fast to slow.
We about to slow it down.
Just another slow jam.
Slow jam. 97.9. The beat.
Did you get my call?
From slow to fast.
We're cranking up the party!
KISS 103.5.
So stop the party!
Keep your audience on their toes. And that's just the beginning. Want to get creative?
Yeah. Multi-format testimonials.
I like it a lot. You guys are doing a really good job.
All day, every day.
Best music.
I love it.
The music. The music is awesome.
Real listeners keeping it real.
That's what I like the best.
I love the music.
Plus, voice parts built for radio.
Yeah.
Number one hit music station.
Ladies night.
New music first.
Real people, real energy. Everything you need for custom pieces. Multi-format, high-def work parts. Sounds, stagers, sweeps. Drones. Effects. Zeds.
Beds and loops. Climax.
Best of all, it's effortless. Big and thick, fresh and relevant.
That's kind of cool.
Give your stations a thick, high-def sound and keep your stations going. Get Climax Imaging. Click rickallencreative.com.
Let's get into some nerdery, but I want to start with you sent some screen caps. One that stood out to me. I'm just pulling it up so I can look at it. Yeah, your new Contact sound design packs from Rick Allen. Tell me about those.
Well, that's some of the new things I'm excited about doing. Contact, it's the Native Instrument Sampler. I love it. It Robert Dudzik turned me onto that, and I just dove into it. And I'm
they have a free version, right?
There is a free version. It's a little rough to work with because okay. A lot of the patches, it only will stay up for so long, and then it shuts down. You got to reboot it and that kind of thing. Unless
so,
you're
saying though, in your opinion, it's worth getting this thing. Contact.
If you're going to do a lot of your own sounds, I think it's a very solid plugin to buy.
Cool.
And I kind of went gaga and started learning the computer scripting of it and that sort of thing. And so I decided that I'm using it so much to create sounds for the libraries that I started thinking, well, some guys out there, if they're into it that much and want to do sample libraries, they want to use a sample library in a sampler. Some of this might work for radio guys. And so I've created groups of one instrument is nothing but coin splashes and money sounds, ATMs making noises and Rick Cash registers, that sort of thing. Another one I did, gunshots. I did climbed into a dumpster and basically banged, smashed and did metal impacts all over the place. And then set up a recording session of glass breaking where there's a video on my website where you can watch a little short bit of it, but broke light bulbs.
Is that the one where you smashed the TV?
Yes. Yeah. That was, I was out walking the dog one day and somebody in the neighborhood was getting rid of an old tube TV and I went, you know, so I went back and got it and it was a big 32-inch TV. And a warning there, research what type of things you're breaking because you have to be really careful of the TV tube puts out, a tremendous voltage when it when it's even after it's shut off, and you have to be careful of some of the gases that come out of the tube. Same thing with fluorescent light bulbs. I got some great sounds from smashing fluorescent light bulbs,
But you also have a disease now.
You got no, yeah, did not. I learned enough beforehand where I got out of there and ventilated the place after I broke each one. So there's some learning there. But so I that's kind of a new business venture where I'm trying to create inexpensive, affordable sample libraries that can work.
Well, explain
with
to me how that goes. You know, what? Let's say I want to get the gunshot one. So, you know, price range that for me. What does it cost or whatever?
I'm trying to keep it. I'm trying to keep it down and reasonable. I haven't set up the storefront yet on the website. In the process of doing that, but I'm trying to keep a simple one for radio guys in the $39, you know, $49 range, where it's something that, you know, hey, if a guy can't get the money from the radio station, because that happens a lot. If you want to do it yourself and you're into it, you can afford to throw it, you know, on PayPal or your charge card, and it's just a downloadable thing, and it goes right, it loads right into Kontakt.
And then that essentially, it's you know, a piano roll. But it has, you know, what 50 or 40 different gunshots that then all show up on different notes of your MIDI of your MIDI controller.
Exactly. Yeah. And then with the Kontakt sampler, you can actually go in and manipulate some of the sound effects and that sort of thing. So there's things you can do to it to even play with it even more.
Are they actually on key though? So like, are they in order, and then there are, you know, actually an A, a B, a C, a D, where I can actually create a song out of gunshots?
Not on the non-musical sounds. I mean, something like a gunshot doesn't have much of a pitch or a tone to it. So yeah. not on those, but on did one with something as silly as horn honking and you know, the old bicycle horns. So there's and then car horns for traffic, you know, the promos or anything like that. And there's one that has the various car horns in tune, which you got to be, you got to be careful of that, because that can get old really quick. But if you've got a promo bed that you're working with, that it is neat and fun to be able to then put a car horn or a cash register sound or something in the same, you can find the right note to hit at the right place when you're doing an accent in the copy, that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you have a station logo or you have a jingle, and you
exactly.
can just easily, quickly create your station logo with a car horn, and I mean, if you're giving away a car, that sort of writes itself.
Exactly. I'm working right now on finishing up one for phones, which will be all sorts of cell phone rings that'll be in tone, that'll have business office rings, and all the phone type effects, I'm trying to group everything into instruments that then relate to a specific contest or a promotion that somebody's going to be doing.
Or a time of the year, seasonal, whatever.
And I'm trying to keep it inexpensive, but I'm also, what I'm excited about it, because it helped me. The real reason it happened, I mean, it's funny, most of the stuff I've ever done for radio libraries over the years has been because when I was producing a promo or a sweeper, I needed to do it to make it faster and easier and more convenient for me. And all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, if it works for me, it might work for somebody else.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, that's where this came about, is the fact that I started grouping and creating instruments because I was using those sounds so often for different things that it was like, you know what? Other people might be interested if, I mean, some of the production folks out there I know aren't into the samplers with the musical keyboard, that sort of thing. And actually you don't really have to have one to use Kontakt, because you can, with Adobe and with Pro Tools, you can draw in the notes.
Yeah, you can just paint in the MIDI notes.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And the program itself actually has a mini keyboard on it that you can click with your mouse and try different notes. So don't feel like you have to be a musician to use something like this.
No, I feel like these digital audio workstations, all of them, but in general, I feel like what they've tried to do more than anything else in the last few years is make it so non-musicians can make music easier and easier and easier.
That's true. I mean, and that's another a good reminder. I'm glad you said that, because if you 2 years ago didn't think that you could play with something like that, check it out now. And if even now you're not comfortable with it, a year from now, check it out. And you may not have the time or the ability to create monster music beds, but you can maybe add to a music bed that you've got to make it more custom for your radio station or for the copy.
Let me ask you, I want to get your opinion on something. I had this question sent in. Oh, you know what? I forgot. I had a Facebook question sent in by Kyle asking you for something free. So there you go. You can go talk to him. this is a serious question, though, asking about utilizing plugins destructively or in real time and, you know, applying an audio suite plugin in Pro Tools or just dropping it on the track, RTAS. And then another DAWs, do it in your own way, but destructively or non-destructively applying a plug to a piece of audio, and let's say a voice, what's the benefits of either side of that? I mean, obviously using system resources, but aside from that, what's the benefits?
I am a big fan of non-destructive use of plugins. That being said, I've always had a system where I've had a huge amount of RAM, and I've had fast machines. So system resources, and with the TDM Pro Tools system, most of the plugins you're using non-destructively actually run through a separate computer card that goes into your computer, so you're not using system resources.
That's but let's talk to the poor people like me with LE systems.
Well, I have to say I'm not sure about Adobe, but Adobe is, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much set up to be the word destructive does not mean bad things. It just means it's creating a new file. Adobe's, if I'm not mistaken, and you're talking to somebody who doesn't know Adobe that well, is more, it applies the effect to the file, changes the file. You can always go back to the original file later, but it changes that file to a separate file.
I actually didn't know that. I thought Adobe still had the two options where you could look at the individual waveform, apply a plug to it, and bam, you've destructively edited that. Or you could do it like Pro Tools and still apply these plugins on the tracks. I didn't know, though.
Ryan, you might be right. I may just have walked into something there that I didn't.
No, I'm not. I don't know. But I do know that, more than Pro Tools is set up to have you utilize plugs in real time and not destructively edit. That's the easier way to do things in that program.
The nice thing about that is with non-destructive use of plugins, you can always go back and tweak things and change things very easily. Mm-hmm. Now, the downside of it is if your system goes down and you lose that plugin, and it's happened to me over the years, as the upgrades happen, some of the more expensive plugins from the old days didn't upgrade. They just went out of business and didn't happen. So suddenly I'll open up a session from a couple of years ago to work on it to do something. And those plugins don't work. So a lot of people recommend, and in the radio world, I just don't see people having the time to do this. I don't think I don't do it because I don't have the time. But in the music industry, a lot of people will then print an audio track separate with the affected audio, just in case you have to ever go back and don't have that plugin anymore.
Is there a command? I know there's a command in Logic. Man, I've been using Pro Tools a long time, and there's still a few basic things that I should know that I just never done. But can you just hit do this function, and it'll actually bounce down separate audio tracks of every track in your session, and then create audio track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know what I mean?
It will, but it won't. You have to do that with Audio Suite. I mean, it won't. To the radio folks out there, I think that's one of the reasons why Audition is still so preferred is, if I've heard one complaint more than any other complaint, it's Pro Tools. You have to bounce. If you're working on an hour program, you have to bounce for an hour. Whereas with Adobe, you can go process and you're done.
Right.
There's ways around that. There's ways around that in Pro Tools, but it takes more time. It's not set up to do that. And that is one of the disadvantages. But I always doubted this until I tried it. I do all my sessions in very high bit rate.
What, 24-bit?
I do 24/48 for most things. I'll go higher when I do anything else, when I do sound effects and things like that. Because even though I end up with the main bounced file as a WAV file 16.44.1 for most applications, it really does make a difference when internally you're working at that higher bit rate and sampling rate. It's worth doing. Try it. Listen to it. I think you'll hear a more open feel and a bigger sound to what you're working on, and especially when you're running things through plugins. It keeps the the fidelity that much better, even when you're bouncing down to a lower rate.
Yeah. So what do you work at then? I mean, you know, more than 24, 48.
I'll go up to 96.
And you're always working in WAV files, right?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And you're on a Mac?
I'm running a Mac G5. And
what do you have, like an 87 core?
I just assume you've got
the best Mac ever.
It's a multi-core, but it's not that many cores. it's hardcore.
Yeah, it's hardcore. Okay, cool. Let me ask you about EQs and comps and gates. Some of your favorite plugs. Let's start here. In fact, I'm gonna get a little more specific with EQs. I basically have one or two that I really like to use all the time, and I've got about 20 on my system. And I always think, well, why do I need to use this EQ over another EQ? You know, how do you know? Is it just your ear, or are there really, like, you know, the REQ is good for this, and a different EQ is good for this?
A lot of people might argue with me, but I don't think in those terms. I generally think of the EQ is either incredibly high quality and doesn't distort when you boost or cut, and boosting is where you're going to run into most of your problems. So if EQ will do a boost without really distorting the sound, that's what you want to look for or listen for. And that's the difference. And originally in the old days, the stuff that came with Pro Tools, I could hear the distortion when you were really mangling something. Mm-hmm. And I was really pleased with the Sony Oxford filters and EQs.
Yeah, those have been brought up a few times.
But you pay for them. Yeah. And I have to say, if you don't have a big budget, the latest EQs that have been part of the Pro Tools plugins that come with the system, the 7-band one is, I think, pretty darn good. I mean, for a free plugin, for one that comes with it, it really, really sounds good.
A good example, just real quick, to show people, if they go back to that show notes page, excuse me, that's your voiceover chain. That's the EQ you're using on your starter voiceover chain. Yep. They can look at that image.
Yep. I've got way too many EQ plugins. I've got the Focusrite and quite a few others. And I lately have... Actually, I got to say, I use the Sony Oxford a lot on things that are critical, but the Pro Tools 7-band is a go-to one for me now.
And that's, it sounds like that's pretty much your starting point.
Yep.
You start with that on your vocals. Yeah, that's cool. It's good to know. Something I've asked a few of the other sort of tech heads, you know, like the Berlins of the world and some of the guys that I know are really in, you know, audiophile guys.
Now, Jeff, let me tell you, Jeff is so far above me when it comes to technical stuff.
I think Jeff is far above a lot of people.
Oh my gosh. That guy is somebody who, if I ever had a question and he couldn't answer it, it couldn't be answered.
I was going to say, forget it. Go on to something else. Yeah. I wanted to ask about gating. I've always struggled with gating myself because, you know, when you're in a room that's not the best room, you know, you can use a gate to try and get rid of some of that noise. But what exactly is gating doing, and how much should we rely on it to clean up our audio, especially vocals?
Gating is really an afterthought to a bad sound. I think that's a way that I describe it. Basically, you have to think of gating as a electronic hand on a volume control. It's just basically looking ahead at the signal and going, okay, something's coming. I'm going to turn up the volume, and it's over with. I'm going to turn down the volume because there's hum or hiss or air conditioning noise in the background.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in start with a good sound. You shouldn't have a voice track that has a lot of crud going on in the background. With the inexpensive sound treatment that's available right now, if you're gating heavily, look around your room and figure out what's going on, because that noise is there when the gates open along with your voice. It's still there in the background. It's just masked by your voice. So it's part of the sound. Now, that being said, I've have to remember Brian James's studio. His studio was the most massive collection of stuff. It was always a mess, and we always laughed about it. And he would always run a fan right next to him because he ran hot, and he'd run a fan the whole time. And so, you know, here's a guy who was the national voice of the TV show Extra, and how many hundreds of radio stations, and his room sounded noisy, and he relied on.
So what did he do? How did he output his sound? How did he get people?
Big time gate. I mean, he used. He had the Manly massive passive EQ, and he had the Manly reference mic that was an awesome mic, and you add those things together, and he just then would he'd have a noise gate at the end of it that would work fast and work furious and just. Snap open, snap shut.
Yeah, I've just, it's, yeah, something I've always focused on is clean audio versus gated audio, and gates just seem to be a joke to me.
If you need to, it's there to rescue you. It's the flotation device if you need it kind of thing. You can't, if there's that much noise that you hear it in the voice, you can't get rid of it. All you can do is get rid of the sound in between. You can, the way to get rid of the sound that's there with the voice. The easiest way there is EQ. I'm a huge believer in rolling off the bottom end of stuff. Because it doesn't need to be there for a lot of the transmission, especially for voice. And then there are some really good noise programs out there now. Sound Soap Pro is one that I've used that can clean up. Some really nasty hiss and hum and that sort of thing, and you can get in there and tweak it, but it never works miracles. You can't right. Save the unsavable.
Do you have any DIY inexpensive sound treatment resources that you've used? You know, that'd be a real good place to start for people trying to get their room a little more more gooder.
Actually, I got some gooder stuff. Actually, I got it's funny that there's a picture on the. On the show notes page that you have a picture of a buddy of mine who actually, I got to give a shout out to him. He is Steve Omet is the guy who did all the guitar work for Guitar Hero 3. He did the Devil Went Down to Georgia and all that. And he's a local guy here and a super nice guy. And I use him a lot on guitar tracks. And he brought in his a custom thing called a guitar viol, which is like a viola and a guitar, and we sampled that. And one of the rooms that we use for that sort of thing, I basically treated it with I made a metal kind of curtain area of tubes that are made out of old keyboard tubes, and use moving blankets from Home Depot, put grommets in it from a grommet maker at Home Depot, and then used shower curtain rings and looped that through the metal rods and hung that around. And those really kill the acoustics in a room really well. And you don't want to overkill the acoustics in a room. One of the things that I think coming from radio that I my perception was, hey, if you throw enough foam and Sonex around a room, it'll sound great. Well, if you suck the life out of a room, it sounds unnatural and it doesn't work. You need some natural ambience, but you need to control the reflections. So there's bass traps out there now that are inexpensive. I just started with the moving blankets. There's recording studios that use that still to this day.
Cool. Well, man, I think we've been going about 4 hours now. So I have a couple questions left. But I want to make sure that before we get there, I'll post all these links, but rickallencreative.com, that's the main website. They can get to basically everything you're doing starting there, right?
Yep. And I'm absolutely, anybody that wants to email me, I don't hide in the dark. I love talking to people. So if anybody wants to start a conversation with me, I'm open to it.
And they can find you on Facebook, Rick Allen Creative.
Yep, absolutely.
Another site they can check out is SoundFX Candy. You've got some cool products there, including I believe the Climax stuff is there as well.
That's a site for a lot of the radio products.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're gonna have to We're gonna have to talk again sometime in the future.
I'd love it. I would love it. Thanks for putting up with my my rambling. I mean, your questions were great, and I hope we covered people are interested in.
Absolutely. I'm gonna change the final question I ask you, but one thing that I meant to get to that I had multiple people asking me about. Have you ever, there's lots of radio seminars out there. I went to a new one in LA recently, something geared towards imaging producers only. Have you ever, an actual seminar, getting people together, have you ever thought of something like that? Not that you would put it on, you don't have to, but was there something, would it not work? Would it work? What are your opinions on that?
Well, years ago, actually, we did, Kelly got us started doing one, a dinner every year at the R&R, which was for production guys. We did that for like 6 years, and that was awesome. Eric Chase would show up, Brian would show up. We got Jeff Thomas coming in from Australia 1 year,
yeah,
where we were all just hanging out, drinking and eating and having a good time. The problem I've always had with getting people together and in a large group discussing creativity and that sort of thing is that sometimes the egos get involved and you've got different camps of people. I mean, there are fans of this kind of production and there are fans of that kind of production. And so it'd be fun to kind of try to break it up into different groups and let people mix and cross lines and learn about something that they haven't explored. Because I mean, one of the things that took me years to learn, and I'm still learning, is actual realistic recording of environments. Where to take a commercial and have two people speaking and have it feel like they're in a car, or have it feel like getting that perspective, and not make it feel like it's in a radio production studio. Eric Chase was one of the best guys at doing that. I mean, when you listen to some of his multi-voice conversation promos and recordings, if you close your eyes, you're in the drive-thru of McDonald's, or you're wherever he wants to put you. And I mean, that's an art, and that's a whole nother art that's a blast. And I'm still learning and growing in that area.
I did make a note on that actually earlier in our interview, environment recreation, that you wanted to get into a little more.
If you have time and we can take a couple of minutes.
I do.
One of the things that I've gotten into in a big way is convolution reverb impulse responses, which sounds like a big word, bunch of words. But what that is convolution reverb basically electronically captures the sound environment of whatever room you're in and sampling.
How do you do that?
Well, there are several different methods of doing it. There's some freeware out there or relatively inexpensive software that I can't remember. But the one that I have gotten into heavily is Altiverb. It's kind of a high-end reverb, and you don't have to start with something that expensive. But what it allows you to do is, and there's a picture on the show notes page, I've actually gone into, I found this huge metal culvert that went under a 4-lane highway about 50 miles from here. And an intern and I went up there and we took our digital recording equipment, and you set up two microphones to get a stereo grab, and you can actually do surround if you want to. And then you have a speaker, a powered speaker that runs a sweep tone that is made for it monitors the reflection of every frequency, calculates it, and when you take it back to the studio and load that back into Altiverb, you recreate that environment. And I've done that in my kitchen, I've done that in my woodshed out back, I've done that in the middle of a forest, I've done it in these huge culverts.
When you're capturing the environment, you're not actually capturing a sound in that environment. You're capturing what the environment would be.
You're capturing the reflections and the reverb. So, where it came about is, and where it got real popular was in Hollywood, when you're doing a movie and you're having to replace dialogue. Let's say you're on location at a bar, and you have to recreate the conversation. What they do after they've recorded, when everything's quiet in that bar, they run this sweep tone, capture the reflection of the bar or the car, you know, the interior of the car or the mass, you know, wherever they are.
Is the sweep tone audible to the naked ear?
Yeah, it actually, I mean, it okay. covers actually all the frequencies. It sweeps from very, very low all the way up to very, very high. That way the sampling program can calculate, okay, at 60 hertz, the reflection happens this way. At 10K, it happens another way, and it actually, through the wonders of technology, it knows how to put that all together. So when you put your voice in there, or a trumpet, or a guitar, it listens to that frequency of that instrument or whatever the sound is, and knows how much reflection or reverb to add at every frequency.
But this is with a specific plugin, the Altiverb.
Yes, yeah. But so but there are libraries out there for some. Waves has a convolution reverb, and I mean there are lots of convolution reverb plugins out there. And I'll actually do that with my sweepers. I found that for some reason psychologically, I use a slight the dense forest where. You've gone into the middle of a pine forest and at about 20 feet apart between the sound source and the microphones, recorded that environment, that feeling, and I use that on the voice track of all my sweepers now. And it just adds – I guarantee you hardly would notice it. I mean, I don't know. I might be playing head games with myself sometimes, I think. But it just seems to feel more comfortable when it's all mixed down.
I think that's pretty fascinating. I think that's something that has actually created more questions in my mind than answers, though. So I have some work to do now.
I will try if I have the time in the near future. I will try to do a little tutorial video about it because I'm getting into that now. I'm doing a lot of screen captures and that sort of thing. So if anybody has any questions on things, if they want to let me know, you included, just if there's anything. That if I get enough questions about it and I have the time, I'd be more than happy to kind of put a quick video together.
Oh, absolutely. I hope you know that anything you do like that, if you know, you send them my way, I'll post it on the site and so all the podcast listeners can check it out.
Perfect. Thanks.
Let's see here. My final question, and I just thought this might be an interesting one. If you could go back and talk to that guy, Rick Allen, that was working in Indianapolis, you know, your first major gig after TM, or even at TM for that matter, and tell him one thing that you know today, what would it be?
You know, this is more of a life question and answer for me, because I have, through my entire career, the balance of being that production nerd and living and doing nothing but, you know, eating, sleeping, breathing radio, and then living a fun, crazy, wild life. And that balance, I think, is so critical because without either one, I don't think you're as good as you can be. And I fight that balance continually. There's times where, it'll be a weekend and I'll be on the net watching a tutorial about some piece of gear and my wife's out at the pool, you know, sipping a pina colada and there's times where I scratch my head going, you know, hey, wait a minute. Or my buddies are out on the ATVs, you know, riding and mine's sitting in the garage. Or the motorcycles haven't run for 3 months because I don't get out. And yet when I get out and do the fun, natural, crazy life stuff, I come back and I'm much more refreshed. And radio is stressful. And it's gotten – I don't even want to pretend to know how stressful it is now because I haven't been doing it at the station level for a while. And I just know talking with my friends and stuff that, I mean, the pressure is incredible. So you do have to commit to working your ass off, but at the same time, there needs to be some downtime. So a lot of us that are, that had a successful career, we did nothing but radio for quite a bit of our career. And if I could go back, I'd watch that balance even closer.
I like that. Thank you.
but I do it again. I mean, that's one thing. All the changes radio's been through and has gone through, and I would still choose this career over and over and over again. I love it, and I think the people that are in it are really cool people, and I'm very proud to be doing it.
Well, excellent. Rick, you're the man. Everybody told me you were the man, and just such a good time talking to you. Maybe this has become a four-parter, which is good. It's exciting.
and let's do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. One more time, rickallencreative.com. Hit the website. The show notes page, like I said, is going to be one for the ages. There will be lots of content to see and hear. You won't regret it. And reach out to Rick. If somebody has some questions or they want to know how the actual legit big-time pros think about something, talk to Rick. And Rick, until next time, man, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
The producers.
Obviously, just want to thank Rick one more time. So good. Like I said, it was a three-parter. We got a lot of content in there. Hopefully, you enjoyed it. I've had many people tell me in the past they prefer it if I don't shorten it up, make it all that tight. I try not to edit out hardly anything. So, you know, some of it might get repetitive. Some of it might sound a little rambling, but nobody's ever complained yet. So hopefully you don't feel like you're wasting your time by listening to this podcast. But I'm always up for helpful criticism if you have any. Also, guest requests like Rick Allen, who has requested multiple times in the past. Anyway, so there are plenty of guests I still have on my list, though. And if you have any to add, send them on in. RickAllenCreative.com, as I already mentioned, but I will just basically say the show notes page on the website. Just top right corner, you'll see the menu. It's podcast. You'll see podcast show notes. Click that. It'll be the Rick Allen show notes. Well worth your time to check that out if you haven't already done so. Like if you were listening to this podcast while traveling or in the car or something, thank you for not surfing the internet while you were driving. I'll just say that. But also when you get home, check out the show notes. A lot of fun. Trust me, I have a lot of cool people on the list. I am going to try and get back to someone who is very, very heavy into the voiceover world, a radio imaging voice. And then I can also tell you, I have someone, he's been around quite a long time. He now operates a very large service for radio stations. I'm not going to say anything more than that. He's absolutely going to be a guest, and he's someone that is going to have some really cool stories to tell. I hate doing those stupid teasers like that, but that's all I can really say right now. All right. Otherwise, that should do it. I think I'm done talking. Thank you. RyanOnTheRadio.com if you got anything else you want to hit me up with.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at RyanOnTheRadio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.